The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Pues bienvenidos. Thank you very much for coming. My name is Anthony Solana, and it's good there's a small group because it's tends to be a very intense subject. I know it makes a lot of people very nervous. My name is Anthony Solana. I'm a lawyer in LA, and my claim to fame is that 5 years ago I wrote a guide to how to get into law school. It's been fairly popular, and it's helped out a lot of folks, thankfully. And as a consequence of that work, about a year ago, some of the students that benefited from that asked me, you know, can you write a guide to the bar exam? Because, you know, it's a good grace and a lot of luck and a lot of hard work. I was able to pass the California bar on my first try. So that's basically the subject today. How do you pass the bar of your respective state on your first try? And a lot of it has to do with the way you study, the way you prepare, a lot of things that you will do correctly, a lot of things that you won't do correctly. And it's just a learning process, and it's a very steep learning curve. And this is Miguel. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Michael Davis, the last floor, Miguel. I'm an attorney in New York. I've had the pleasure of taking two bars. I went to school in New Mexico, so I taught the New Mexico bar, and also moved to New York and had to take the New York bar. And also feel very fortunate because I passed. And I think a great deal of the reason why I had success was because of great advice that I got from people like me who told me what they did and what worked for them, and so what the idea is today is to purge all the information that we have, give to you guys, so that you'll have the same amount of success.
So all the bar prep stuff that I've ever attended always starts with the mechanics of the bar, but I'm going to try to do something a little bit different because I think there's something fundamental that people need to deal with. Before even attempting to pen to paper, or even before starting the process of preparing for the bar exam, I think that you have to deal with something very important, very critical, very personal to all of you, and those are your insecurities and your sense of self-doubt. How many of you are third years or about to graduate from law school? Okay. As you all know, the law school experience probably has not been the most exciting thing, the most wonderful thing in your life. I will tell it. It has been, to be really, and it's funny, that's the perfect segue. It's probably been an extraordinarily racist environment that you've been in. You have been told that our people don't matter, that our issues don't matter. You have been told that people with our skin color are darker, or even a little bit lighter, but have a Spanish surname or whatever the case may be, that we don't mean shit. We're cockroaches. And your mere presence there offends people. So you internalize that. But you've internalized it since any time you hit any type of educational institution, when you were told that you were stupid and that you're crazy to think that you will ever be able to attain any type of educational achievement, especially in this country, because our sole purpose here is to be cheap labor. You know? So we internalize that, whether we like it or not. And how does it manifest itself? You procrastinate. You self-sabotage. You know, I think I should be doing that property essay, but you know what? I think I'm going to be hitting the club tonight. You know what I mean? Things like that. I mean, things, you know, and it comes up like that. And so the first thing you really need to deal with are your sense of insecurities and self-doubt. And how do you do that? It's not going to happen overnight. But I think the thing that you need to realize quite quickly, if you haven't done so already, is that you need to find a way to check it. Because you will be amazed at the things that you will do to self-sabotage yourself. I really don't know what it is. The most powerful thing about insecurities and self-doubt is that it's absolutely poison. It's absolutely poison our community. And it's funny because I don't think people really are afraid of failure. It's almost they're afraid of success. They're afraid of reaffirming their brilliance. They're afraid of reaffirming what they have to add a value to their community. And the reason why it happens is because it's a weapon. It's a weapon that they have deployed upon us that's very effective. But if I were on their side, this is exactly what I would do. You mess with people's minds, you make them feel insecure. People that have built empires the world over, you know, thousands of years of civilization, and they fucking rape, pillage it, and destroy it. And make us feel bad about it. So you've internalized that. Just deal with it. Just deal with that reality. So before attempting something like the bar exam, be very, very aware of how these insecurities and self-sense of self-doubt will manifest itself. There's going to be times where you know what? I'm not going to pass this thing. I'm just going to half-ass it. Now, if you're going to half-ass it, don't even try. Okay? You need to show up on point. Okay? And the main reason is because it's important. You know, people need us. People need us in these positions. How many of you are going to be the first in your family to be an attorney? Everybody. Almost everybody. And, you know, the first thing is felicidades. Congratulations. Felicidades. It's a hell of an achievement. It's a hell of an achievement. So if nobody told you that, then I'm going to tell you that right now. It's a hell of an achievement. You know, there's a nice saying that a lot of the popular culture likes to say, which, you know, all lawyers are a dime a dozen. I'm like, not in my community. Not in our community. So the first thing, también, is felicidades. It's an amazing achievement. And I'm very, very proud of all of you. And the thing is, all of you are absolutely brilliant. And to get to this point in your life, I'm sure that you've had to overcome some amazing struggles. You know, especially for the ladies, for the women in the room, you've had to face it within your own home. Oh, you're not going to be a lawyer. You're tripping. You're a woman. Right? And with the fellas, you know, we're supposed to be in jail, brothers. You know, we should be locked up right now. How dare we be here in a fucking suit and a tie, talking craziness. You know? So with that, you know, that's the intro. That's the intro, all of this. So let me kind of give you the lay of the land. And before that, I know there's California in the room. What other states are people going to be taking the bar in? Massachusetts, New York,
Florida.
Texas,
Minnesota.
Anybody from New Mexico? Okay. In essence, all the different bars are very different in terms of the way they time things, but there's basically three general components of the bar exam. Okay? There's going to be the essay. Okay? And within your own respective states, there's going to be anywhere from 8 to about 14 subjects. Okay? You have the bread and butter-ish subjects like contracts, property, torts, civil procedure, con law, crim law, crim pro, things of that nature. So the essay portion. Usually the essay portion, it's about 3 essays. In California, there's 3 essays, 1 hour each, and you take them consecutively. Then there's a thing called item called the performance exam. In essence, what a performance exam is you create a certain type of work product. They either tell you to write a brief, like a motion for summary judgment, a motion to dismiss. They ask you to write a memo sometimes, a memo to a partner or a trial brief to a judge. And sometimes they do funky stuff, like they'll tell you to write a will, or they'll tell you to write, you know, a letter to a client. Or actually, the weirdest one I saw is write up an agenda to meet with a client. And it's funny because the first thing they wanted to see on there was, oh, you should say hi to the client when he first comes in. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. I'm not really going to get into the whole why they even test all this, because that's just beyond the pale and you're just going to have to deal with it. And the item where I think a lot of our people fall, unfortunately, is the multiple choice. The multiple choice exam. Usually that's an all-day exam. They time it in such a way that everybody takes it across the country at the same time. And it's an all-day thing. It's 8 hours. So for example, in California, this is the way it works out. On the Tuesday, you show up at 9 in the morning. You're going to take 3 one-hour essays back-to-back. And it's up to you to time yourself. Okay? Then I'm going to tell you, oh, 1 hour's up, time. Next essay. No, you have to time yourself. Then you take a lunch break. And then you go back and you take a performance exam. Okay? Then on the Wednesday, it's all day of multiple choice. All day of multiple choice. So the first half, lunch, New York is also considered a hard thing because of the subject matter, from what I've heard. So that's kind of the lay of the land. Do you want to describe New York or some other ones?
Yeah, it's actually, they're very similar at this point. New York now has a performance part of the exam as well. So I think it went 2.5 days as of 2 years ago, and maybe up to 3. But it's essentially the same. People try and, this is something that we talked about a little bit, but people are always saying, well, California is the hardest, New York's hard, you know. It doesn't matter. I've taken New Mexico, I've taken New York, they're the same way. So whether you're going to take it in California or Minnesota or wherever, just get that out of your head. You've just got to prepare for this and change your thinking in a way that you've never done before. Anthony is exactly right that, you know, it's just by being in this room, you guys have achieved a lot, okay? And to get where you are to the point where you're going to take the bar is a fantastic thing. But with all these accomplishments that you've had, you have had these insecurities, and you're going to have them, you're going to feel them even more as you approach the bar. With all the bar courses and everybody that you talk to, what everybody seems to focus on is, all right, well, what's the percentage, the pass rate percentage? Forget about that. Just forget about that. What you need to do is, we'll get into the details in a little bit, but you need to approach this like it's your job, it's your family, it's you've worked for years and years and years to get to this, and now this is just going to be the culmination of all that. And you're all going to pass. You're all going to pass. Everybody says that, and when you're in a situation, you're like, I don't want to hear that, I don't want to hear that, because what if it's me? Doesn't matter, you're going to pass. New York and New Mexico, when I took New Mexico, there was a performance exam. It was, what, half a day, Mo?
Half a day.
New York is doing that as well. I agree with Anthony that I think the hardest thing traditionally for us is the multiple choice. It's a long test. It's stamina. You have 1.8 minutes per question, I think. And it's not about, every answer has some element of rightness to it. Mo has a great analogy. Go ahead and say it, Mo.
Well, if I could have like 2-3 minutes, just 1 minute.
Sure. You need to change your way of thinking is what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if it's New York or any other state, you just approach it the same way.
Oh, and I failed to give you guys the most important piece of information. These two gentlemen are here, two of the three founders of this conference back in the day, so if it wasn't for these two gentlemen, we wouldn't be here in this room today. So I just wanted to acknowledge that.
I think the state of Washington is the only state that does not have the multiple choice. And everyone's taking it at the exact same time, literally, regardless of time zone. You have 1.8 minutes per question. So if you don't know the answer the night before, just go to bed. You're not going to teach yourself the answer the night before. One question isn't going to make or break you. But here's my experience is that you need to simulate the test. If the test is taken at 8 in the morning, then study at 8 in the morning. Because it's a stamina test. It's like a long-distance runner. You don't want to sprint to practice. So, for example, you don't want to take 10 questions and then look at the answers and then take 10 questions and look at the answers. You want to literally take 100 or 200 questions, go to dinner, go to a movie, come back, and then check your answers. Because in that third hour, your brain is going to be incredibly tired. So you want to simulate it. So my experience is that you take 50 bubble questions a night for 50 nights. And that will give you 2,500 bubble questions, and you will be more than prepared to knock out that test. Because as you take the simulated test, you get in the bar examiner's head. You scope out what tricks they're trying to trick you on, and you identify them. It's amazing. But bubble tests, they're inherently racist to our community. And we can't discount that. All we got to do is teach our plebe how to conquer those tests, how to be better at those tests. Someday soon, those tests will not exist. And I challenge all of you to challenge your deans or your local bars to throw them out. But until that day, we got to conquer those tests. That's our reality. And so, like Mike said, most tests in our lives, third grade, LSAT, whatever, there's one correct answer. In the bar exam, there's two correct answers. But one answer is more correct. And you're talking about a fine legal analysis in 1.8 minutes. So you've got to do the same thing you've done your whole life. Throw one out. That one's probably not it. You get down to the last two. If you don't know the answer, then just ask yourself, how would a white male answer this question? Fill in the bubble and move on. I guarantee you, will dominate that test. You will pass.
That's a great, I keep using the words of the word of the day, segue into another, first topic number one. It's very expensive to do, but you have to do it. You need to take prep courses. You cannot do this on your own. Oh, Anthony, I'm a fucking genius. Yeah, great. Thank you very much. You still need to take a prep course. Yeah. I'm not affiliate. They don't give me any money. They should give me money, but they don't give me any money. You should take Barbary. That's usually the national one. I think there's some specific for New York. But Barbary's pretty much the big one. They kind of have the monopoly on it. And they mostly focus on the essays and the performance exam. They have a component with the multiple choice, but the multiple choice sucks. Okay, so you need to take Barbary. And what does Barbary do? What you do at Barbary is you show up and they give you these fat outlines. Okay, they're going to give you this huge outline that's literally like 8x14. And the thing is enormous. Put that one in your bookshelf. You're not going to need that one. What they give you, what's key, is they give you this thing called a Convisor Mini Review Outline. And it's all the subjects that you're going to be tested on, and it's shorter outline. Okay? First thing you need to get out of, don't create your own outline. Well, with a caveat, if that's what's going to work for you, then that's what's going to work for you. I would suggest that you don't have enough time for that. Because you're literally reviewing a subject per day. Okay? So, what happens? The daily experience, you know. You wake up at 8, you go to class at 9, there's a lecture. They also give you this book with basically the lecture. And within the lecture, you're just writing down the rules that they're going to give you, that you're going to study for the day. And then at the end of the day, this is where it really counts. You go to the library, hopefully. Don't be studying at home in the cafes and stuff like that. So in the library, and you pull out your outline, and you pull out your notes, and within that, okay, you know, you start doing your work, you start doing your review. If you're into flashcards, that's your thing. You're gonna be seeing people doing all kinds of craziness, man. You know, you're gonna be seeing people like, I saw one cat like with five highlighters. Fucking one was like yellow, one was like hot pink, and like fucking, you know, purple and shit. And I was like, oh, well, this is for the issue, and then the subject. I mean, you're out of your fucking mind. Keep it simple. You know, keep it simple. But do what works for you. And then this is the key. This is what will make you pass the bar. You review the outline once, and then depending on the subject that you're going to have that day, they're also going to give you a book of essays for the bar. And you're going to tell me, Anthony, you're out of your mind, but you have to do this. And mark my words. You pull out an essay, you time it, usually 50 minutes to 60 seconds, set the clock, and do it. Anthony, I don't know the long. I don't give a shit. You'll learn it. That's the way you're going to learn it. That's the key to the bar exam. You practice, 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 practice. Even when you don't know the law. The way you're going to learn the law is by making mistakes. Because I don't know what it is psychologically, because when you make a mistake, then you remember it. If you insist on sitting there and you're constantly reviewing the outline over and over and over and over again until you say, oh, I know, until I know the law, I can't sit these essays, you're going to fail. Okay? Review the outline once, twice maybe. Okay, even three times. That's fine. Do some flashcards if you want. Do a flowchart if you want. But every night for the subject you're studying, do at least one essay. At least one. Time. I'll get to you in a minute. Then on top of that, so that's Barbary in essence. Then for the multiple choice, and again, these people don't give me any money, but I think they're the best. For a variety of reasons, actually. PMBR. PMBR for the multiple choice. One of the main reasons is because the guy that runs it, he's racist. He doesn't like it very much. But the thing, and you'll see it in the questions, you know, within the sample questions, he'll use, like, you know, every black person's name, like, Shaniqua or Jamal or some shit. You know, every Mexican is like Maria or Jose. You know, still use the word Oriental. What are the questions? And you're going to see it and you're going to be like, oh, fuck this, I'm out. You know, I'm in critical race studies. I can do this shit. You know what? This is a big issue. And this is a big issue. This is not a time to get offended. This is not a time to prove anything. If what you're going to prove is by passing the bar on your first time, that's how you're going to hit them back. Okay? So when you get your bar number, then you can do something about this stuff. But by getting offended because somebody used the word Oriental within the multiple choice exam, and then you walk out, and then you're not going to study anymore, you're handing them a victory. You're handing it to them. So I like the MBR number one because it's racist. But number two, because the questions are very, very hard. Very difficult. All the multiple choices is very difficult. And the great thing, it's almost like lifting. When you lift heavy weight and you get a lighter weight, you'll be fine. So practicing with harder questions will benefit you immensely. And Mo's right. 50 is hard to do, but definitely try to hit 50. If you can only hit 25 a day, that's fine. But the key is time. Under time conditions. What happens mostly is people run out of time. Okay? So everything you do has to be under time conditions. Simulate it. Like Mo was saying, simulate everything. With the performance exams, usually Barbree, they'll have it within their schedule. They're going to give you this long schedule with all the assignments you should do, and they're on crack. There's actually no way you're going to be able to do everything. Don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about that. You're not going to be able to do everything. Just do the best you can. Okay, that's just up front. Don't get into this game. Don't try to guess what's going to be on the bar exam. Do not try to guess what's going to be. Oh, Barbie's going to tell you. There's going to be this one guy, this guy Sakai, and he's always like, well, you know, statistically this and that and this and that.
In 13
and, you know,
years.
Yeah,
they
13 years this and that. Look, chinga su madre, I'm going to be ready for everything. You know, that's what we should approach it. You know, California's 14 subjects, I knew those 14 subjects in and out. The subjects that you hate the most are the ones that are going to be on there. I don't like evidence very much. I mastered evidence because of that. I knew evidence was going to be on there. You prepare yourself in the sense that you prepare yourself like this. I'm expecting to get the worst possible bar exam in the country. It's going to start with evidence. Then it's going to start with like some crazy like CivPro thing. Like let's use Kata. And he gets out and like, do this collateral estoppel bullshit and just like, I have no idea what this is. And the damn thing's going to be like in Mars, and then like there's some aliens that come in, and what's the jurisdiction? You know? It's going to be something crazy. It's going to be something crazy like that. Expect it. Okay? Do not, and this is where insecurities and self-doubt really come in. Do not run away from the subjects you don't like. In fact, hit them as hard as you can. Okay? So practice, practice, practice. With the performance exam, it's within the schedule. It's hard to do simulated performance exams because they're long. Each question is like 3 hours because they give you an assignment, then they give you this thing called a file, which is like the facts, and then they give you like a library, which is cases and statutes and so forth and so on that you're going to use for whatever you're creating. The most important thing with the performance exam is follow the instructions. Very careful. Read the instructions. Actually, that's where the name of the game. Because they want to see, can you follow instructions? It's amazing what they're testing. For my exam, literally they said you need to cite to the case, and they gave us a sample citation. It was very short. It was like the first name of the year. But if you didn't cite, you failed it because you didn't follow instructions. So it's very hard to practice those. So definitely do the ones that you assign because they're going to assign them. What Barbie does is they'll assign essays, and then you turn them in for grading. Literally, I think they look at it for half a second, just write a number on it. Don't worry about those grades. They're all going to be low in the beginning. Don't trip. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing it. Okay? Just keep doing it. But try, if you're going to keep to the schedule in the sense that you turn in all your assignments. No excuses of, well, I can't do it today. I'll turn it in 2 days from now. No, you're not. Turn in all the essays that they're asking for. Turn in all the performance exam essays. And then with the performance exams, what I would do, or what I did, which is very helpful, is outline it. Read the file, read the assignment, and outline it. And that's the way you practice it, under time conditions. So if you say, you know, I want to be able to outline this in about 15 minutes, and that's what you do. And then you look at this, and then you look at the sample answer. The thing with the sample answers, they're incredibly thorough. You know why they're incredibly thorough? Because they hired somebody to sit down for 10 hours and write one. You don't have 10 hours. So there's no way you're gonna do what's in that book. But that should be your aim, though. You know that's everything. that the bar exam is supposed to test minimal competence. So you kind of have to retrain your mind. Here you're not trying to get an A. If you're trying to ace the bar exam, you're going to be in a world of hurt. Minimal competence. Keep it simple. Learn the basic rules. Apply it. And this is where people fight me a lot on this. And this is when you're practicing. When you're practicing essays or you're practicing anything. If you forget a rule, you know what you should do?
Make it up.
Oh my God, I forgot the elements of negligence. Well, what negligence? Somebody fucked up, right? Somebody fucked up and you owe me a duty. Okay, I'll write that down. I mean, you don't put somebody fucked up. This is a basic rule, and you start applying the facts. You start doing analysis, and you start using the word because a lot. Because this, because that. And you start applying a lot of facts. And then at the end of the essay, you have this great epiphany. Oh my God, I know all the elements. I'm like Prosser on torture now, you know? I know all the elements. Don't go back and cross out, because you know what you're doing? You're signaling to the reader. They're grading these things like a minute an essay. That's how much time they're going to give us for the essay. So it needs to, when you do anything weird on it, that's what they're going to spot, okay? All you do is, all you say is, the preceding argument is not convincing. The following argument is more on point. You know, or you say, a counter argument to that previous argument is this. You know, and all you're saying, and all the way you're phrasing it is, oh, that was just a crazy counter argument that they might throw at us. And you're showing the reader, oh, that's analysis. That's more points. Also with the essays, use headings. When you're spotting issues, and that's all these things are, racehorse spot, issue spotters. Alright? When you're spotting issues, banners. You know, intentional inflection, emotional distress. Do you think you should say, oh, I spotted that issue in the middle of a paragraph? No. Put it on the top and underline it. If there's going to be intentional inflection, emotional distress, guess what's also going to be there? Negligent inflation, emotional distress, right? That's going to be the second one. You know what I mean? Barbie's going to teach you that. When you see certain issues, there's going to be probably other issues that you should mention. So don't worry about that right now. The main thing, though, and I'm going through all this to basically tell you this takeaway point. If you don't practice this, there's very few guarantees in life. But if you don't practice, you're not going to pass. But if you practice and you're diligent about doing the practice exam, even if you don't know the law, even if I haven't memorized everything, even if you don't know the law, then you'll pass. That's the takeaway point. That's literally the reason why I came across the country to say this. You need to practice. And I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. And don't let your insecurities fuck with you. And that's how insecurities manifest themselves in the bar exam. And you know what? I want to do the essay, but I can't do it because I don't want to see myself fail. I don't want to turn the page and say, oh my God, I missed everything. You know? Shit, I thought it was murder and it's actually like kidnapping or something. You know, it's crazy. You start doing crazy things in your head. Practice. Por favor, please. For the love of God.
It's absolutely right. And for me, the hardest part for me was the multiple choice. I don't think it's acceptable that you just do 25 a day. You've got to do 50 a day. You do 50 under time circumstances, and then you read every answer. Not just the right answer, but all the wrong answers, too, because that's when you're going to start to understand the mindset of all this. To me, it's critical. You can have not gone to law school, never studied law in your life, and if you do 50 questions a day and you do the answers, you will pass the multiple choice part of that. Also, these insecurities, it's great, you know, that we're talking about it now, but when it's like a month to go before, you're going to forget everything that we said. But Anthony has put together a fantastic booklet. Sleep with it if you want. You know, have it by your nightstand or whatever, and just go back to it. Don't get caught up in what your friends are doing. PMBR is a great thing. I agree 100% with Anthony, but it also inflicts insecurities on you as well. There's a point where you actually take an exam. PMBR does this, mm-hmm. Barbary does this as well, and you're going to be going into this exam because you're following everything that we said, everything that's in the booklet, everything that Barbary says, everything that PMBR says, everything about, you know, your cousin's, you know, Prima from I don't know where took it and has this magic powder and cheap hats. You're going to go into that practice exam and you're going to be happy and you're going to walk out of there scratching your head and going, what the hell just happened to me? And then you're going to sit with your buddy and you're going to start looking at the exam and you're going to get this score that's going to make you want to turn around, walk out and say, well, this is fun. I got to think of a way to explain this to my abuelita. I know that she sent me this money, but, you know, I'm done. I'm not facing this. I can get another job. There's other, you don't have to be a lawyer. I mean, I remember, was it DMBR? Antonio, myself, and another friend of ours studied together. That is another thing. If you've never studied with a group before, don't start. If you study with a group and you work well with them, fine. But the key is, studying for the bar isn't a time where you start to do something new. We worked well together because we know that at times we're flawless. I mean, we had to hold each other accountable. Every day we were at the med school library simulating those 50 questions. And no talking, you know, if we wanted to get a chela afterwards, we did that, but very rarely. We took the practice exam. I don't know, I don't remember what you did, but I did horribly on it.
Yeah, we all did.
I mean, it was probably the worst, statistically the worst test I'd ever taken in my life, and I thought, I'm going to fail it. You're not going to. You just keep doing it. You see, you take this exam before you're, by the time you get ready to take the actual bar exam, your head will be so filled with information about things that you'll never use again, or you may, but it's, you know, you'll be ready. You just have to do the time.
Just a quick point on that is that if you're used to studying alone, I studied alone my whole life, but we studied alone together. In other words, we would get together, we wouldn't study in a circle, but we you know, Mike and another boy, Ronnie, they pulled me out of the gutter. Don't underestimate the depression, the anxiety, the tripping. As you know, the bar exam is in late July. Don't wait till 4th of July to study for the bar. You cannot do it, you know, just take it methodically, take it day by day. And then of the day of the bar, my kind of good non-scientific analysis is that we did not study the bar. When we took it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and now it's when?
California's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday. So the night before we didn't study, saw a movie, day of the bar, you go in the morning, eat a light lunch, saw a movie. I mean, we didn't study at all during the bar.
And we didn't talk about it.
And we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it. I just popped in my head. Day before the bar, my brain is so racked. I'm going to meet my mom to go to church. I didn't have my seatbelt on. Got pulled over and booked for Noah.
Insurance.
For failure to pay a fine or something ridiculous. And I'm in jail the day before the bar.
True story.
I just depressed me, so there's no way. But I did not want to stress out Mike and Ron, so they didn't know till Wednesday night. They're like, well, what the hell did you do Sunday, man? Where were you? And I'm like, I didn't tell them till Wednesday because we were on a mission. We were on a mission, and the two elves in the room have a significant disadvantage because the World Cup's going to be next summer. And, you know, when Germany beat Mexico in 98, I was ready to check out. So, they literally saved my life. So, just surround yourself with love and just kick some ass. Because the day you take the bar, you will never be a better lawyer. Because I knew all that stuff then.
This is a perfect segue to another issue. Distraction, okay? What can you do now to start preparing? Should you start reviewing your evidence online tomorrow? No, I don't do that for myself. But start preparing your family. Yeah. Chances are, as a person of color, you're probably tight with your family, even though they're a bunch of metiches and you're not up in your business. Prepare your family, prepare your significant others for a very significant time commitment on both your parts. On your part in terms of studying, and on their part of them not being able to have access to you as much as they do now. It's very, very important. You know, they have the luxury, you know, well, I don't think it's a luxury, but they like to put their folks in old folks homes and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's going to take a dispensal to them and their trust accounts. Mm-hmm. With us, you know, we actually love our family, thank God. But the unfortunate thing of that is they love to take up our time. You don't have time for that. As soon as you graduate, you know, it's a beautiful thing, you know. You start getting calls from, like, the second aunt, brother, because he got pulled over and got a ticket, and he wants you to fix it. Can you fix it? Number one, absolutely not. Why? Because there's this thing called the moral character application, and you do not want to be tagged for unlawful practice of law. And if anybody's going to get tagged, it's somebody that looks like you. Okay? So what do? What I did with my family is I literally sat them down, and I told them, I broke it down. I did this. This is what I'm going to be enduring. This is how many hours I'm going to study a day. You know, I'm not fucking around. You know, this is what I'm going to be doing. You know, and they're going to tell you something very interesting, and they mean it as always what I told them. But it's gonna mess with you. They're gonna tell you, oh, mijo, amigo, don't worry about it. You've always done well. You do well this time. And forever heartfelt that sentiment is, it's great. But you know what? That's not gonna help you. Why? Because that's not the case. The case is you need to study for this very hard. So they're gonna try to use it as an excuse to say, you know what, mijo, amigo, you do well fine anyways. I don't think you really need to do all this. No, you know, in fact, I do. Okay. So that's one thing. The other thing. Again, this is the insecurities. Oh my God, you know, I should really do my laundry today. You know, my chonies are kind of dirty. Go to Target and buy extra chonies, you know? Or, you know, whatever you got to do what you got to do. And the takeaway point is avoid, if you're a drama king or drama queen, put yourself in check, por favor. Right? The bar exam and studying for the bar exam is not time for drama. Get on the drama reduction plan. I turned off myself literally for 2 months, and this is the message that I left. Hi, my name is Anthony Solana. I'm currently studying for the bar exam. I will get back to you in 2 months. If you really need to reach me, send me an email. I might check it on the weekend. That's how hardcore I was about this. The counter to that, that's one extreme. The counter to that, if you need to take break, take breaks. Get 8 hours of sleep on that. Okay? Get 8 hours of sleep a night. You're going to hear some funny stories. There's going to be people that are going to start pulling all-nighters day one. You know what? Those people are going to toast out. If somebody tells you, oh, I pulled an all-nighter because that's just the way, oh, yeah, you know, I'm the shit. I'm like, you're fucking crazy. I like my sleep. You know what I mean? Don't be pulling all-nighters. Don't do anything crazy like that. I would say take at least one night off. I usually took Fridays off. And also Saturday, make it a half day. But, you know, you should be studying every day to an extent. You're going to reach a point where you're almost going to burn out. And you know yourself. When you start reaching that point, it's okay to take a couple of days off. That's fine. If you want to check out and just go to class or go to the class and just write the notes and not study afterwards because you need that for yourself, that's fine. Do you check out for a month? No. But if you check out for a couple of days, that's fine. In other words, keep yourself healthy, mentally, psychologically, physically, okay? But time, it's a big commitment. Another rule, if you have a significant other in your life, please, por favor, for the love of God, do not talk to them the night before the exam. You know why? Because they're going to fucking break up. This is what's going to happen. You're under a lot of stress. You're under a lot of stress, okay? And they're going to tell you, all the love of my life, I wish you the best. Well, really, do you wish me the best? Well, fuck you, you were never there for me back then. You're just under an inordinate amount of stress. And you're going to get in a fight. I had this buddy of mine. Every time I tell this story, I just have to laugh. This buddy of mine, you know, the girl had him fucking whipped. I mean, there's no doubt, you know? And he's like, you got some left and right. It was crazy. The night before, she calls him to wish him the best. They end up in a fight, and they break up. Totally fucked with them. I get a call at 2 in the morning. I don't know how the hell he got a hold of me in my hotel room. And I'll get into accommodations right now. Crying and shit. Oh, my God. I can't take this. I have to go home and fix this. I'm like, no, bro. She's going to be there. Don't worry about it. No. This and that. Eventually, he took the bar, and he passed. But you just don't need that drama in your life. Please. Get on the drama reduction program. Design it. Write it down, actually, if you can. In terms of accommodation, what you should do leading up to the bar. You're going to get an instruction sheet from the bar examiner. You're going to get this, like the registration form, usually with like a card that you're going to need to get in. Please don't lose that.
put it somewhere. Don't hide it, you know, so you can't find it, but don't lose it. You're going to need that, okay? And then with that, and I'm telling you, this happens every year, there's going to be an instruction sheet of what you can take in and what you cannot take. For example, in California, you can't have a digital watch in the bar exam. It has to be analog in California. So read the instructions very carefully. You know why? Because they hire these senior citizens that have nothing better to do, and they literally check their bags for like illegal contraband, and they get all excited when they find something. Alright? You don't want drama. So read the instruction sheet very, very carefully. If I would check into the hotel, okay, you need to get a hotel room close to the bar examination site. If you can visit the bar examination site ahead of time, great. If you can, you can. Okay? Be prepared for temperature variations within the examination room. You know, in the morning it might be cold, you know, but then when you're in tent, you know, your body warms up. So dress in layers. I would check into the hotel at least 2 days in advance. That's what I did. I just wanted to be there. Okay? Book your hotel as soon as you find out which ones are going to be in the area or where you're going to test at. Okay? And you get the confirmation number, and I would do it at least once a month, and especially leading up, reconfirm it and keep confirming it. And if you like non-smoking, make sure you get the non-smoking room. If you're very picky about your pillows and la chingada, you need like your fucking Tweety Bird pillow, or I don't know what you need, take it with you. More of a Bugs Bunny man myself. But in seriousness, do what you're going to have to do to be comfortable, okay? Lunchtime. If you can, have your lunch ready in your room, okay? Don't be going to the Burger King on the corner where everybody's going to be there.
Talking about the exam,
because they're insecure, and asking you, oh, what do you think about that, this and that. If they ask you that, you know what you should do? Oh, wow, that was an easy question. I got that right. And you'll mess with them. You know what? In my mind, if people want to mess with me, I'll mess with them right back 10 times over. Okay? Like during the bar fee, you know, when you're pulling up, they put these essays in the boxes and you pull them out, like the sample ones that you wrote. And people will be like, oh man, how'd you do on that issue? Oh, I did very well. How'd you do? You know? Mess with them right back. You know? Why? Because they're white, they think they got privilege. I mean, come on now. Por favor. So, the main lesson here. Drama reduction program, stay comfortable, and study very, very hard. Okay? Let's open it up to questions.
I'd like to say one more thing.
Sure.
That we haven't touched on. We've talked about a lot of things, bar courses, hotels, and whatnot. And I don't know about you guys, but when I was graduating, I was totally tapped out. Had no money. And I was beginning to think, all right, well, I'll do this one, you know, and I won't do the other one because, damn, you know, I've already got all this student debt. And I already have these credit card bills. Get another credit card. Take another. There's bar loans actually do that before you take a credit card. Talk to your abuelita if you have to. You know, whatever it takes. This is not the time to reduce your debt. This is a time to invest in your future. You take PMBR. Take bar break. Check into the hotel if that's what works for you. But, you know, I'm not saying, you know, get a room at the Ritz, but you know, I mean, it's not the time to cheap out. Also, the local bar associations give scholarships. The Latino bar associations in New Mexico, I know we got scholarships. I got like I think $700, which took care of a course right there. You can be a PMBR rep, right? And all you do is you go around and you ask people to sign up. And I think you get it for free. Do that.
And Barbary.
And Barbary. I wish somebody had told me about that early. I just kind of looked at these fools, you know, out in the reception area of the law school every day. Oh, sign up. Well, I wish I was out there because, you know, it would have reduced my debt by about $800. So, you know, seek out the scholarships. Represent Barbary or PMBR. You know, you're going to think you're selling out for whatever. No. You're reducing your debt, and you're doing the right thing.
Find a sugar mama or sugar puppy. In this sense, you need to have one person
identify one person that you could turn to in the case of an emergency. An emergency will pop up. The drama reduction program, in theory, works well. It's not going to work. Mama's going to call you. Papa's going to call you middle of the night. Oh, my God, we need $500 because of this. You know, where this is going on. Find, identify, usually it's a best friend, hopefully, a person that you can rely on for any last minute stuff. Your car breaks down the night before. This person should literally hand you the keys or drive you there. No questions asked. No excuses. That's what you can do now. Identify those people. Identify a very tight circle of people that will be there for you no matter what. Hopefully you have people like that already in your lives. But will literally pick you up at 3 in the morning and take you wherever the hell you need to go. Okay?
It's essential because it's going to happen. One thing that we did, I didn't have any friends or family who had any money. And so I did the bar loan. And so did Antonio, so did our friend Ron. And we had a deal with, we all applied at different times. We didn't know who was going to get it first. And whoever got it first was loading the others. We came down to having $10 between three people. And Antonio was sick one day. Gracias a Dios. Do you remember this? You know what I'm about to
say? That was when Germany beat Mexico.
He's like on his couch, spread out, and there's a knock on his door, and it's your primo, I think, who was delivering meat.
Right, right. Unfortunately, a rack of ribs fell off the truck.
Yeah, unfortunately. And he needed to store it. You know, why he couldn't store it in the big ass, you know, truck with a freezer in the back, I don't know, but Antonio in his days, always being the negotiator, says, yeah, that's fine, man, that's fine. I just, you know, cut off a percentage for me, you know. So he calls us up, he's like, hey, pull that $10 together, get some barbecue sauce, come over, we're gonna eat. I'm sure the money's gonna come in any day. It was like the Last Supper. We cooked up all the ribs, we took everything he had out of the fridge, and it was kind of scary, but we ate it. And within a day or so, the loan came in for one of us, and then they, you know, we all helped each other out.
Let's go ahead and open up the questions. Okay. I think we can pull one side.
Quick question about the 50 questions a day for the multi-state. The PNBR gives you those CDs that you have to listen for the whole day and then they post the questions. But some of that stuff is edited from Barclays. Do you recommend to listen to the CDs and then do the questions for the PNBR, or just keep the CDs because they take forever?
You're going to get the material through the lectures, okay? So the CDs are just, if you have some dead time, if you're driving somewhere, then you put it in. You know, instead of listening to Snoop Dogg, listen to the Barbie CD or the PNBR CD.
Or if you're done with Pride.
Yeah. If you just want to tune out,
yeah,
just put it on. Don't sit there and think that you have to go through all of them. No. The PNBR, and this is critical, and again, this is going to take money. Please take the 6-day, they have this thing called the 6-day PNBR, which is about a week before Barbie starts. Okay? This is the way it works. PNBR has a 6-day course, a week to 2 weeks before the Barbie starts, and they go through the 6 core subjects. And what they do in the morning, they literally, without you ever reviewing an outline, they throw 50 questions at you every day. And you do them and you're going to do terrible. But you're learning a lot. And then they do a lecture every day on that subject. So first day, evidence, 50 questions. You mess up, you get like one right. And then you review all the, you go through all the answer choices and review the outline. Okay? And what happens at the end of those 6 days, you basically have done first year of law school all over again. What a nightmare. In 1 week. Okay? So when you hit Barbary, you've already done the first year of law school all over again. And you're going to redo it now over the period of a month and a half, 2 months. Okay? And then at the end of the Barbary, PNBR offers a 3-day course. And the 3-day course, you go through a full exam. You go through a full exam, and what they do, again, these people don't pay me any money, but I found it incredibly helpful. What they do is they send people into the test centers with photographic memory, and they're seeing like what patterns are coming up. So they test you on new stuff. The other thing with PNBR, they also teach you the very arcane, nuanced areas of law. Who the hell knows about riparian water rights? You know what I mean? I had no clue until I studied PNBR. Barbie doesn't teach you that. Barbie teaches you the bread and butter simple stuff. The multiple choice exam, this is where people mess up, it's very nuanced because that's the only way they're gonna weed people out. So it's literally these very quiet areas of law. Who knew that the sidewalk in front of a post office wasn't a public space for a First Amendment issue? You don't know that until you do PMBR. So do the 6 and the 3 days, definitely. I think you had a question.
I think I've been asked this question about every other 3 years. I remember you 3 years ago at UCLA, but the question is when? It seems like that's the biggest issue I always know. You're telling me do 50.
Mm-hmm.
When do I? I'm freaked out about contracts.
Right.
Now, and
right.
I'm looking at contract outlines right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure if that's too early or if it's too late.
I mean, if anything, right now, I think if you signed up, if you haven't done so already, try to lock in these prices for these things. So call them up and try to lock in the price. I think you lay a deposit down if you haven't done so already. Then what Barbie does is you sometimes they'll have like these refresher courses for the first years. Like they'll go through content and stuff like that. Maybe at best show up to that. You know? Honestly, I wouldn't study unless it's part of a plan. So I wouldn't just pick, you know, on a Saturday afternoon I have nothing better to do than pick up a contract outline. That's the way I wouldn't do it. If you're gonna start studying now, which I wouldn't necessarily suggest, but hey, you do what works for you, then make it part of a plan. Okay? Develop a plan and execute it. That's the way I would do it. Normally, you don't start till the first day of the courses. Then you hit it hard as you can. The other thing though is, please do not procrastinate. If you start procrastinating, there's one thing between taking a break and procrastinating. Okay? If you're in the library, don't take your laptop. You're not gonna need it. If you're gonna be in the library surfing the internet, you're wasting your fucking time. Why are you in there? You want to be an attorney, not a web developer, okay? Why are you in there with that fucking DSL cord plugged into your computer being on MySpace? When you have the bar exam looming over you. Why you sabotage yourself? I would put it this way. If you find yourself procrastinating, then I would reassess, do I even want to be an attorney? Am I taking this seriously? Because if you're not going to take yourself seriously, then don't waste your time. This is not a pleasant experience, as you can gather from this presentation. You know what I mean? If you fail to attend that, this is not the most enjoyable period of your life, but it's necessary because this is the profession that you've chosen. Please don't procrastinate. Don't waste time.
Materials. And these are the required courses like evidence, crim law, tort, crim pro, civil procedure, contracts, and con law. You should try and take those courses, and usually you're required to. But other than that, you all the material you need comes in these volumes of books.
My personal recommendation. Absolutely, definitely, without a doubt, take evidence. And absolutely, without a doubt, take First Amendment. Common law First Amendment. That stuff is so arcane, they're not going to learn in the days. Beyond that, I was a firm believer of, you know, I'm here, I'm going to take the bar courses. That is me. But you need to do what's healthy for you, because at the same time, this is a very rare opportunity in your life to be in the law school, so you do what you got to do. So I wouldn't worry about it. If you haven't taken evidence, I would definitely take evidence. That's the only thing I would.
Thinking that it might be the better advantage to have them surround me, maybe not, while preparing for a lot of this stuff.
want to think about where you're most likely to practice. A topic that could go on for hours and hours and hours is why, you know, you have to take a bar exam in all these other states. It's ridiculous. But I was in a similar situation, and I thought I was going to practice in New Mexico, actually. I ended up going to Mexico City, and then I went to New York. And it's not fun to have to take, you know, 2 or 3 months out of your life again, sit for this god-awful thing. It's easy the second time around because you train for it before, you know what you're doing. It's not as intimidating. You know you can do it, but you still have to put in the same amount of time. So my only recommendation to you is try and figure out, you're interested in immigration and human rights, start looking now at where you can work, where you're most likely to work, you know. The UN is in New York. There's lots of, you know, Human Rights Watch is in New York. I know California has those places too, but you need to kind of think about that process earlier than most people because, you know, that's what you want to focus on.
Can I add something to that? I've got a few students here at the law school. My name is David Jaffe. We have that question come up with respect to students here. The DC bar for somebody in your position may be as appropriate as other jurisdictions you're thinking about. I'm just giving you a quick reason for it. If you know you're not going to need a bar for a particular jurisdiction, what's nice about the DC bar is that because we don't have state law, we're code applicable, you're not being taught on the essay portion that's been described, you're actually not being asked about DC law specifically. You're having federal principles or federal applications of law on the essay portion. It's actually called the MEE or multi-state essay exam. And so it's more or less a repeat of what you've been learning in law school in the courses you've been taking. The exams also, because the multi-state portion is done by this National Conference of Bar Examiners, it's a little more straightforward. I don't want to say easy, but I would say in quotes cleaner than some other exams where the nuances simply aren't there. So if you know that state-specific is not going to be important for you, it might be something worth exploring a little further.
Any other questions? Yeah. I have a question about just computer usage. I know you mentioned like those crash shit out, you know, but what about just taking tests on computers and doing? I know just also like that list of what you can bring in. I was like trying to get in the wrist test stuff, and then I've heard just with disability issues that it might be also difficult. So I don't know if any of you could speak to that, be it learning disabilities, physical disabilities, and just computer use.
On the disability issue, I would check with the bar that you're going to take and read the instructions and the policies very carefully. In terms of should you do laptop or writing, I'm old school, I like writing. But don't switch now just because. Okay? Do what you've done in law school. Do what you need to. I like writing because I think it slows me down and I think better. But some people like to type. I don't think, in terms of, you're going to hear this, wow, you should type because, you know, they can read it better. Well, sometimes I don't want them to read it better. You know, I don't want them to do it. No, in all seriousness, I don't think it matters. I really don't think it matters. Yeah, exactly. But, here's the rule. Do what you've done this far. Actually,
I'm going to get her in a minute. Well, I just want to answer something from disability. My name is Jenny Figueroa. I'm a professor at SUNY Law School. I'm also recently appointed to the National Conference of Bar Examiners. But on your question about the disability, you're going to have to make your case. I don't know what jurisdiction specifically you're talking about. I'm also from New York. You're going to have to make your case, and usually what they are looking for is someone who already has a track record of having had accommodation. So if you've never done that before, now you say, I need an accommodation, they're going to be very suspect of that application. So you should just be aware of that, think about that now, and how you may want to address that. Not to discourage you, just to tell you that. I just want to comment, I thought the three of you did a great job with that. I came in a little late, but I don't know if you talked about working. Did you talk about working during the study so far?
No.
Okay. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do it.
No. Simple rule. Do not do that. This is your job. This is two jobs every day. You do not work other than to study them. You will fail this law if you work. So do not do that. The only other thing I would say, having heard bar examiners do their presentations about how they read exams and how they're not racist, and the objectives and so forth, the reality is that many of them think that they can read a black and Latino's essay and be able to identify it apart from a white person. So you really do have to think this way. And you should just know that and be aware of that.
Not quite understand.
I have no idea. I have graded exams anonymously for 11 years, and I can never tell whose exam I am grading. So I have no idea where that comes from. But when you walk into that exam and you sit in that exam, and even as you're preparing for that exam, your community is with you and supports you, but do not take your performance, the weight of the Latino community on your back, because you will fail. You will be poorly, you will be more stressed out than you need to. And I can assure you, there's not a white person who takes the bar exam who thinks that their performance reflects on the white person.
Exactly.
Do not do it to yourself.
Okay.
Do not do it to yourself. And the last thing I'll say, law professors, these essays are not law school essays. When I'm, or the rest of my colleagues write a law school exam, we are not writing a bar exam. And you've been for 3 years writing law school essays and not bar exam essays. You have to learn how to do that. It is a skill. It is an art form. Learn from the people taking it. I'm giving you a lot of wisdom here today. Learn from the bar support if you're going to take the essay. The woman who asked about taking courses, the one course I never took was tax, and I did regret that. Not because it was on a bar exam, because I knew enough tax from the bar course to answer that question, but because sometimes those kinds of courses actually do prop up in your practice, and I'm a public interest lawyer by trade and training and choice, and sometimes it really does pop up. But you can pass exams without any problems because you're going to hit some material that you didn't take the course in, but that you're used for the bar, and you will do fine, as all of these will do.
Another rule, no matter what happens the first day of the bar exam, do not go home and quit. Show up for the second day and show up for the third day. If that applies. It happens. People feel absolutely defeated. Trust me, you've done a whole lot better than you think you have. You're not. If you're feeling a certain way, trust me, everybody else is feeling the exact same way. I think we have time for one more question.
Hi. Yes. I'm actually. I studied law in my country, and I'm doing here a program that can let you take the bar. So I realize I'm more in a disadvantage, maybe because I don't know the law here. I mean, I took some introductory courses. So what my question is where can I find out about the bar? I also have a question, like for the PMVR courses and all those courses. I don't know how long in advance you have to register for them. And also, thinking about taking the New York bar, and I've heard that you can wait until the DC bar.
You can wait, yes, to DC, you can. You're going to pay a lot more.
On page 11 of my guide, on the second subsequent two pages are the websites for every bar in the country. So go on the website and find out. So go on the website and find them, and they usually have a number too. They'll have just a committee or a person that deals with the bar exam and ask them every question you possibly can. Usually they're not the nicest people in the world because they're bureaucrats, but you can get them. Just get them on the phone. You're going to answer my question. Okay, be a service. You're a lawyer. You're an advocate for yourself.
Can I ask something? I took the New York bar, and are you here at American University?
Yeah.
A lot of LLM students have to take the New York bar, so you're stuck with it. And I would suggest talk to the Bureau of Services Office. They have some materials about, you know, what to do as an LLM student. If you have not been exposed to common law or some of the subjects that will be covered in the New York bar, so use those resources if you have time. And I've met a number of people that are LLMs whose English was not their first language, and they managed to do it, and they passed the bar. So no matter how difficult or daunting this process is going to be, you just have to be determined and think about it, just like our planner said. Even if you miss an issue in your essay, you just have to keep on trying and get to the next issue.
We ran out of time, let me leave you one thing. Your community loves you very much. Okay? Never doubt that. All of you are absolutely brilliant. And all of you are going to do some amazing things in your world. This is just an obstacle that is before you, like many have been placed before you in the past. And you will surmount it. You will jump right over it. The process by which to do that is very tedious and very time consuming, but you'll get it done. But at the end of the day, just remember that we have to be here for each other, okay? So no matter where you end up in life, when you get that call from that student of color, I hope you pick up that call.